All right, good morning, everyone. We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this fellowship. Lord, bless us to go forward in all that you would have us do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You know, communion, that's the strongest part of our life. When we commune with the Lord.
Amen.
I had to do some radio broadcast yesterday, and it got to the part about trust. I was talking about trust. I said, you're not going to trust anybody you don't know, and that goes for God, too. And the more we learn who he is, the easier it is to trust him.
Amen.
And you know, you have to commune with him in order to trust him. And then sometimes he'll give me insight into what he's doing. And I trust him so much more when he does. You know, I say, Lord, nobody would have thought of that before. You know, he thinks way outside the box. And he likes to take something simple like a seed and make something great. So whatever he give you, first of all, it's going to be impossible. And then for you to do it alone. But that's not a problem because he's going to show you what to do.
And do it with you.
Amen. Do it with you.
Yeah.
He's going to work through you. You're going to do it. He's just going to show you what to do and open doors.
Empower you and give you what you need to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like Pastor said, you know, just like those three chairs sitting there. You got those three doors that he put on the screen. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if somebody say, walk in that door, you know, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. I'm leaving everything here and walking to somewhere I don't know. That's the challenge. If you're not giving up anything, yeah, I'll walk in. But if something's going to change drastically, even though it's something good, people can be apprehensive. And sometimes you'll be in a position, you just got to walk through that door and see what's in there. But when you do, he's going to walk in there with you. You know, if he walk in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys, he'll be with you when you walk in your open door that he opened in the first place.
He opened it. Yeah. He said, I'm the door.
Uh-huh.
Amen. He's the door.
And when I vowed to follow him a lot.
Well, that comes back to trust again.
Yeah. Sometimes I did things, it's not because I trust him, it's because I made that vow. But over time, I learned to trust him, and I found out he's trustworthy. So,
amen.
And everybody, you know, it's rude to say God is not trustworthy, but when it's you doing something you don't know about, you know, you have to trust him. And when you do, you're going to find out that he's trustworthy. And now I'm like, well, I want to see what's next. We ended with verse 16 last week. We'll start there. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, chosen is a big word. That's the same word he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And when God chooses people for something, that means that you can carry that anointing, if you will carry it, all the way to the finish line. Many are called.
What do you think when he said many are called, but few are chosen?
Sometimes people don't, they choose not to do what he's telling them to do. Everything that he tells you to do prepares you for the next step. And if you follow that process, he'll select you for something, and it'll be and it's going to work. It's not something that you can come up with on your. When he guides you to this point, he's going to show you what you can do to make a big difference. About 10 years ago, I saw a hand on a table. It had a stack of paper on it, and the Lord's hand was doing like that. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, those are assignments. He had a stack of assignments he wanted to give out. But he couldn't give them out because people wouldn't receive them. He wanted to. They're right there, ready to go. But the people weren't ready. when Saul was chosen to be king, he was apprehensive and hid behind the stuff. But when they found him, and he accepted that calling, and then the anointing came on him, and then he became another man. He was a man with the anointing, and he was like another man because he was anointed to be king. And whatever, no matter what happened, the Lord, he was able to do what God would give him to do until he started looking at the people. And what the Lord will do, he'll prepare you for everything. And if you make those steps, then he'll anoint you to do what he wants you to do. Now, Saul was, little Jim, he pointed out that Saul was anointed with a vial of oil. But David would go in his presence and he anointed him, Samuel anointed him with a horn of oil. Mm-hmm. And how much anointing will a person receive? When Jeroboam was anointed, I think, if I remember right, I don't even think he poured any oil on him. He took a cloth and tore it in 10 pieces and gave him 10 tribes. I don't think he used oil on him. But the Lord will give us what we can receive. And if we the more we receive from him, the more the faster he'll give us our assignments and the greater it will be. But once he give us an assignment, then he don't take it back. You got it forever, and you have to do something with it. And he said, let's look at 16 again. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now these are the same men that walked through the door. When Jesus came, they dropped their nets and followed him. They went wherever he went, and they did whatever he said do. They were chosen, and many others went too. And when he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. They departed. They weren't chosen. They were called, and they could have been chosen, but they decided to do something else. So when people decide on their own, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do something else, then God can't choose them. And it wouldn't be wise to, and he only does what's wise. So when people can go forward, then, they're willing to do whatever he say do, then he'll choose them. In first chapter 14, he said, he that believes on me, greater works than these shall he do. So we have the ability to do whatever he gives us to do. Now, this is the other problem. No man can live beyond his vision. And with that being said, he will prepare you and your vision will increase. And then you'll be able to do greater things that you normally couldn't do. And on the radio, I was talking about these things. I said, you can't, it's best not to depend on people. Because sometimes they can't see you doing what God see you doing. And they'll try to protect you and tell you not to do it. And then there's another thing I learned, and this was kind of weird the way I learned it. When a person is under the anointing, and they're speaking about the Holy Ghost, they'll tell you to do it. The Lord told you to do it, and then they'll confirm it. But in a regular conversation, when they're not in the anointing zone, so to speak, they may tell you not to do it. Because nobody can see the vision that God has. What he reveals to you, he wants you to mix faith with it and carry it out. If he told you to do it, he didn't tell me. But he told you. And what he told you, it's in your heart. And the Lord's going to follow it and see it through. Now, anointed thirsting say, go do it. Flesh thirsting say, well, you might want to do it this way. Trying to help. You know, Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. Now, the anointing is right. So what I learned to do, if God tell me something to do that may seem odd, and I might be apprehensive about it, I don't say anything. I listen. And when people are under the anointing, they tell me, they say exactly what I need at the time. And then I write it down in my heart, and that's what I'm going to do. I put all my dedication into it. And that comes first, before other stuff I want to do. That goes on the top shelf. That's the Lord. He gave it to me once. He confirmed it two or three times. That's on the top shelf. It's got to be done. No matter what happens, that's what I'm going to do. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added. And it works that way. What happens to, see, that's the only way to properly harness time. As you're making the step by steps, you're also, all of your steps is sowing. And you have to reap what you sow. So prosperity is in obedience. And if you're anointed to do something, you already have the ability beyond a man. You have God's ability to do that. And then as you continue, he'll give you the insight. He might even tell you why you're doing it a certain way. And every step makes so much sense, you wonder why you didn't think about it. And you couldn't. It was revealed, you know. He said in verse 17, these things I commanded you, that ye love one another. Now, people are not going to always be on their best. They're not. It's not going to happen that way. And you have to be prepared and ready and on guard to love people when they need you the most. Especially when they tell you not to do what God's telling you to do. Your faith hangs by a thread, and then they come and tell you not to do it. And why? And it sounds, and everything that Satan says sounds good. Satan don't never say something that don't sound good. All of his deception, it all is bad, but it sounds good. Because God, he said, if he called the tree in the middle of the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly how Satan presents himself, like an angel. It's good. That's too hard to do. Nobody ever done it before. And you know, it can seem true and real. It always sounds good. But it's bad. Oh, man. But the tree of life, it doesn't always look like life. You know, turn the other cheek. If a man takes your coat, give him your cloak also. But there's so much deep-rooted wisdom in those two statements. Amen. And that's why I started. I said, if I can agree with God on this, I can agree with him on anything. Amen. Amen. All right, we're out of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Communing with the Lord. You talking to him and him talking to you.
Amen.
The insight you will receive. And ask all the questions you can come up with and let him answer you. In verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.
Amen.
This do in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was going to depart. But this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. In communion, we are eating his flesh, drinking his blood. This is what chosen people do. That saying didn't run away those that were chosen. They developed and they went forward and turned the world upside down like we're going to do. Yeah. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all of your wisdom and insight. Give us more and more that we may do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.